Hey everybody, welcome back to Two Legs. This is episode 212 of a Paul McCartney podcast. I am one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi. You may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. And I am joined by my partner in crime, my backwards traveler. He is Andy Nichols. Andy, my friend, how we doing?
All right, Tom, we're here.
We're here, and it's a very special day, and we've got a very special guest, and we're recording this on someone's birthday, right? We got Paul McCartney just turning 81 today. Unbelievable. The man looks like he's, 41 still, going around touring, doing events. It's amazing what this man is still doing. And to help us celebrate the 81st birthday of Paul McCartney, we've got the man who's an amazing writer. He's been doing so many things lately. He's contributed to the singles box set. And we also got this one right here, right? Music is Ideas. He is the author. He is Luca Prazzi. Luca, my friend, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Thanks again for this special appearance altogether in this special day. So let's have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's have fun. Absolutely. Absolutely. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about Paul's first single. We're going to be talking about Another Day. Here we go. This is the Italian picture sleeve for the 45. Luke, I believe you got the French version.
I got
there.
A French one. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. And then Andy's over there. He's got the Sweden from the box set right there. So, but before we do, let's just rattle about the book a little bit more. How's it doing? I mean, are you happy with the performance of the book? Is it selling well? And we're hoping yes. that this has been very successful for you.
I'm happy. Yes, I'm happy. Sales are LT, and so it's. It's very nice. I am inviting people to write their reviews because I've been a bit slow on reviews, but I think it's a kind of book that needs time to be read from cover to cover. So I mean, they are enjoying it. That's the important thing. We have already talked about it, but it's. Well, it's the only book out there that goes from the lovely Linda until, in this volume, until 1989. And so that's interesting. Since we are talking about artificial intelligence a lot in these days, I have entitled a piece on McCartney's birthday in Italy today that I wrote 81 years of natural intelligence.
I love it. That's great.
And I have put together a selection of facts a personal selection since the Beatles until these days, and you can really see the genius of this man, not only in musical terms, but also leading the business and stuff, is capable to do so many things at top level. It's not common. So that's the best answer to the AI these days. Right. So at some point, AI will rely on my article. Probably. So
right,
what happens if in a few years someone asks artificial intelligence, who is Paul McCartney? What he has done? So that was my reply to AI in a short piece. And the book is part of a bigger, project that says basically, okay, these are the facts. Well, I'm not the only one who is writing about Paul, but it's important to contribute to the facts with this kind of things. Book with a lot of facts, with a lot of quotes, sentences, sources, magic word sources. And that's my contribution. Right. Yeah, that's it.
Very good. Cool. Well, another day, right? The first single, there's a lot to discuss about this song, and the fact that it's got its roots into the Get Back sessions, right? January of 69. Mm-hmm. We did hear a little snippet of it right during the Get Back documentary. If you have the bootleg, then you can find it. Luca, let's start there and with another day. You've got written down in your book that he played it twice for the first time on piano in January 9th, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I think it's what I know so far, but it should be mm-hmm. complete. Paul played another day twice during the Get Back session. Mm-hmm. And right. What was interesting is that the first time is on piano and the second is on guitar, which
right.
I'm not sure if he composed this on guitar. Probably he started on guitar and then he switched to the piano or something like that. And okay. So it's interesting because it dates back to the Beatles days. That's the first mm-hmm. The first thing that always fascinated me. I mean, when I can't remember which was the year, but I have bought this illegal, unfortunately, record, and it was this this performance of Another Day, which is incomplete, mm-hmm. but it's interesting to you know mm-hmm. to hear a snippet of the song. We all know how it works with Paul and his compositions, that they can take years to take shape, but it's very interesting to hear yeah. You know this part of the song. I think that it's a recent discover that it was partly composed for a movie.
Yes,
this connects. The Raging Moon, exactly. Which yes. I've never seen this movie, but I must admit that from what I've read, it's one of the saddest stories I've ever imagined.
Really?
Well, yeah, it is a sad film, and that's where, because we're reading about Another Day, is it does officially say what a so sad then another day, right? So that whole so sad section of the song, I think, really would have yeah. fit for the movie, which stars Malcolm McDowell of A Clockwork Orange fame. And yeah, it is a very sad film. But Brian Forbes asked Paul for a song. He did check it out on July 22nd, I think it was, in 1970, before he even recorded, Another Day, and he deemed it unworthy. He thought that the cast of two leads were miscast. but looking back at it now, I mean, I'm a big fan of Malcolm McDowell, and I think he does a fine job in this film, but very sad. Absolutely.
It's interesting. I didn't realize till reading the legacy book that it was two songs. So sad and yeah. classic McCartney yeah. fashion. He's got two songs.
Right.
Combined into mm-hmm. one, and that was one of many revelations that we got out of the legacy book, which I enjoyed.
Right. Yeah, definitely, and which connects to another quote by Paul, which is in the lyrics book, because he mentioned Hitchcock and a cinematic quality about Another Day, which is definitely mm-hmm. there. I mean, I think each one of us. Noticed that this song is really a series of scenes put together, which is very right. cinematic. Definitely.
Yeah, he likens it to like almost like Eleanor Rigby in the lyrics book. The Sound of Five, I didn't realize was a British television show either.
No, me neither. I mean, it's very hard to catch these things, especially in my case, if you are in Italy and you never heard about this. But it's So we have a lot of added information quite recently about this song, right? Mm. Which mm-hmm. I mean, it was even without knowing all these things, the song is. I think it's a very enjoyable song. It's a very
absolutely
nice song, well built, and it has everything. But we will delve mm-hmm. into it.
Yeah. So then your book, we got recordings. 12th of October 1970 was with the basic track. And then back, a couple months later in January of 71 for overdubs. Columbia Studios, New York, and then A&R Studios as well. So one of the great things about your book, too, is not only are you reading about the song, but you're also learning where it's being recorded, you know, the dates, you got overdubs, you got who plays on them. And then also, if you know, what's very important, if you're a beginner and you want to learn where to find these songs, Luca has this in his book, where you can find the song. So, you know, you've got it on Wings Greatest, you got the song All the Best, Wingspan, Pure McCartney, and the singles box set. So Luca has taken care of all that for you if you want to find the song. So
yeah, that was not easy to do, but I think there's a lot of things, and then we all know that the McCartney discography is a really big one. But I think it was good to have a try and present also compilations and stuff about each track. Yeah, that was the first song recorded for the RAM, so-called RAM sessions.
Yeah, it's nestled in the RAM era, but it's, you know, we don't get it on RAM. So it's kind of that it hodgepodge between McCartney and RAM, and you got Another Day. And, you know, it has that odd history to it. Like it's his first solo single, but it's in between two of his albums, you know, instead of coming out. Right. With his own single off of his first album, it has this kind of orphan status as a non-album track, you know. But
it's his first single, and as we are going to discuss here, there's also a B-side here, which is worth mentioning, but
just a minute or two.
Right, yeah. good way to start a solo career with this kind of single.
Right. So you were able to talk to Cywell about the about the song?
Yeah, he just mentioned the fact that they just worked top speed and mm-hmm. if I'm not wrong, he says something like they just went through the basic track in the morning, and so they just laid down the basic track during the morning. The great thing about Paul is that when he goes into the studio, with a few exceptions, he has a song already shaped, in structure and chords and everything. Then musicians can contribute, but If you go into a studio without a proper structure of a song and you just say, okay, is this a rough idea? It doesn't work, you know. You waste a lot of hours of studio. Then it's better to having a song in a good shape and then work on the arrangement and different solutions. But the song must be there already. Verses, chorus, bridge, all this stuff should be in place. Then you can change something, but the composer has to be clear ideas when he goes into the studio with his songs. Right. And that's the magic of Paul, I think.
I was amazed, you know, reading that... Mm-hmm. He would, run through the song first with Spinoza here and Cywell before he even added vocals or even his bass. That he would work with those two to get the backing track first. and then, you know, eventually with Hugh as well. So he would utilize their talents first before he would go back and add bass and vocals. So quite a, yeah. unique way to record this album. That lasted, seemed like it lasted forever, you know, these sessions.
Yeah, they lasted forever. There was quite a famous quote by Spinoza about the fact that he didn't play bass along during the basic track, which but it's typical of Paul. He plays rarely bass along with the basic track, except for the early Beatles. At some point, he switched to the instrument on which he played, on which he composed the song, also for the recording, mainly. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it's a way of working, which absolutely makes sense. For a drummer, could be a little bit different, not having the bass part in place. But Paul likes to, you know, perfecting this part afterwards.
So. Right. You've got Spinoza quoted here as Paul asked me to play some chords in the straight eighth note feel, G to B7 to E minor, the opening chords of the song. I learned that he was looking for the feel that became Another Day. He just wanted to check out my ability to play the feel correctly. And that was during the, I think, for his audition.
That was for during the auditions. That's another very curious thing. So Paul presented this chord sequence to Spinoza, and there was a chord sequence of Another Day. Yeah, definitely.
So talk about, you know, he comes to America, right, with all of these songs, right? We had the list, right? I mean, pretty much, I think it was like 25, 30 songs. He comes to America, you know, So Sad, Another Day is one of them. The song itself, what do you think about it lyrically? I mean, it's I think it's one of his better lyrics in his earlier career, a solo career. You know, it's not just chorus, verse chorus. I mean, it's structured more, I think, more like a Beatles song than what, you know, we've known to come from Paul during the solo career.
Well, there's a complete story. I mean, it's very clever. It's very well built, and the lyrics are very good. I agree with you. It's one of the best songs we ever composed, also on a lyrical terms. Lyrical
and terms. John thought it was the only good thing that he did for a little while.
Yeah. I had a feeling that was going to come up. But. But yeah, I mean, like every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, you know, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. You know, I think it's a really good, you know, laid out story, which I think he tried again, but didn't do as well with the song back in Brazil. I don't think, you know, I like it musically, but I don't like it as much lyrically.
There's another song which I'd like to mention because it's the most similar thing that he has done to Another Day, which will be in my volume 2. But since I have already written and published the volume 2 in Italian, I went through this song, which is very recent, and it's another single, and it's called In a Hurry. So if you just go through this song, which is very nice, it's very similar to Another Day, also in the chord sequence there's a similarities. I have done a little bit of analysis about In a Hurry, and there's a similarity also in the first chords that he is using, which is interesting because I think In a Hurry is a very, very nice song.
So great. Yeah,
totally. Yeah, that's a great analysis there. And you didn't have to use AI to do it. You did it yourself.
I did it myself, yeah. So,
man.
And just to stay on the topic of this recent song, what I have felt, it seems to me a song, at least in part, which is could be connected to the musical for which Paul is composing or has composed tracks, Wonderful Life. I mean, the way the song is structured and arranged with a big chorus of people, a lot of instruments and stuff, to me tells something about the songs that he is composing or he has composed for the musical. It has a certain quality that probably is to be connected to this project. Who knows? Let's see what comes out.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy Linda's backing vocals on this, especially during the stay, don't stand her up, and he comes and he stays, but he leaves the next day so sad. Sometimes you just feel so sad. You know, Linda really adds, more attraction to the song.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who spoke badly about Linda's vocals should be listening to this song, for example, or to Silly Love Songs. Just another one on the top of my mind. I mean, it's a lovely tone, and Paul was very, very clever in using this lovely tone within his songs. So I absolutely love Linda's contribution.
Yeah, good stuff. Right. Well, and then, you know, the involvement too in the songwriting credit, we'll get to that aspect of the song in a minute. But you talk about the arrangement itself is rich and enhances the acoustic nature of the song. It features a bass part by McCartney full of melodic ideas, hence the title of the music is ideas. Several electric guitar tracks by both Spinoza and McCartney. The song features Paul Linda harmony vocals introducing the couple's characteristic style. So this is really the early makings. Ram, the whole album, is really the early makings of what Wings eventually will become, right? With the backing vocals with Paul, Linda here, and then eventually Denny Lane added to the mix.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's another thing that shows how clever Paul McCartney is in terms of musical arrangement. When it comes to backing vocals, that's another trademark of Paul's through the years. Because if we listen to his albums, we got different styles of arranging backing vocals, very characteristic. So we got Ram and Another Day, which are on their own, style. Then there's a Wings period, so roughly 10 years. And then we go into the 80s when he did his backing vocals with Linda and Eric Stewart. And that's another different style, always so rich and so elegant, so well executed. So it's a real feature, backing vocals. Yeah, something I like very much.
And he must have felt a real connection with Linda with these backing vocals, because I feel since her passing, that is the one thing that's really lacking in his music since then is backing vocals. They're really backing vocals is really not there in his music as much as it used to be, with Linda.
We got to consider obviously that they were a couple, very tight to each other. So when you sing and you love someone, so right. much. That's something that comes out and adds depth, richness, and a lot of other things, because music is not only a perfect technical performance. Who cares if it's perfect? That's not the main thing. These backing vocals are very good. Probably they are perfect also in technical terms, because we all know that Paul pushed Linda a lot through the RAM period.
Yeah.
So they are very nice. Also in technical terms, but there's something that is not, you know, explicable. We cannot really explain what's in with our words. There's something. There's something more.
Right.
Which is connected to the couple. Yeah.
Right. We should mention then, now on the release of February 19th, 1971, this was also not only a big day for releases, but also a big day for Paul McCartney in general. You want to talk about that for a second, Luca?
Yeah, I mean, the thing of copyright issues and the Beatles lawsuit and stuff that are very connected to this to the story of this track. That's why in the book there's a quite an extensive introduction about what was behind. So it's quite curious that the same. Yeah, exactly. I choose this quite famous photo to be mm-hmm. in that chapter, because the very day was the first day of the Beatles lawsuit. So someone says it was not coincidental that the single was released on that day. Who knows? It's it's part of.
What do you feel, Luca? Do you think it was?
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. But, you know, we also have to consider that when it comes to release dates, there are a lot of aspects which you cannot control. So you cannot say maybe to a record company, well, let's choose this day or that. But it could be. I get a feeling it could be.
Yeah.
So that was this thing in the background. And on the other, another day itself. Generated another lawsuit, which is wild.
Right.
Incredible. But that's another aspect.
Right. So exactly. So you have it written here. It caused a flurry of excitement as the songwriting credit for Another Day was attributed to Mr. and Mrs. McCartney. A smart and fearful move immediately, Sir Lou Grade, owner of the ATV Music, who also held the publishing rights to Lennon McCartney songs, contested McCartney's statement, affirming it was only a clever gimmick to guarantee himself a half of the songwriting credit, income, as Linda wasn't part of Northern Songs. So, it was a clever move for him to add Linda to that, because that's a bigger piece of the pie that he's going to be receiving, right?
Right. Yeah, but we have to say another thing. You can file a lawsuit to Paul because Linda was not in the part of the Norton songs, and that's from that perspective correct technically, but you cannot really argue with the fact that Linda had helped Paul composing the song, because that's the way pop music works. So the if you want to say, oh, it's not true, the first thing is you don't know. The second is, well, you don't have to be an accomplished musician to contribute writing a song or co-writing a song. You don't need to be a musician. You can only write part of the lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. You can modify something. You can suggest a lot of things. So it's not something that you can prove it's not true, or you need right. to prove in the case of Linda something. You don't need to be a musician, right? What do you think?
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree
you
too.
You can be a song. You know, look at Elton John and
Brian Mel Evans. Bobby. Well, yeah, Mel Evans made suggestions right all the time, and he didn't get any
no
credit for it.
it's a curious song because it was a hit, right? But as you mentioned, we didn't hear it live for a long time. Mm. You know, it did not feature in any Wings set lists or anything.
No, it was played first during the New War Tour in 1993, yeah. which I remember it was not the best performance. I remember it was a little bit slightly, it was slightly out of tune. I can't remember, but yeah, I enjoyed the song, but they decided not to include it in the Paul is Live album. Mm. Clearly there was a reason for that. Maybe they didn't want to right. To add much in post-production or overdubbing stuff. And then he played it again in 2014, I think. Well, it's a splendid song. Maybe works better in an intimate setting or something. Maybe not in a big
arena.
Who knows?
Right.
Because if it's Paul on his own, like in the case of Here Today or this kind of things, then it works better. This kind of song has got, as we said, many guitar parts. You need a certain bass part along with all the rest. So it's not easy to perform the song.
Right. It was definitely a highlight for me when I saw that, because I got to see one of the shows during that tour, and that was mm-hmm. definitely a highlight, seeing him do Another Day. Another interesting thing going back to the whole lawsuit over the song, it says, years later, ATV Music chief Jeffrey Heath would admit, when Paul and Linda started to write together, it diluted the value of the publishing to us. It was a piece of genius because although we all challenged it, it could never be disproved. So suddenly, Paul's songwriting partner was Linda, and then John and Yoko started writing together. So, that's pretty interesting there.
That's natural intelligence.
Right.
Yeah. that's another example. I mean, and I'm not saying it was not true, because I'm 100% sure from what I feel, obviously, that Linda contributed to this song. Absolutely. Right. That is a perfect sum of Paul's move. That's it.
Right. It is pretty amazing when you think about the Linda, then she's part of the songwriting credits all the way up into Venus and Mars, I believe, right?
Yep.
75 or 76. She was always in the songwriting team. Definitely. That was part of the agreement with ATV.
Right.
In 72.
Right. So that lawsuit then with Lou Grade, a lot of people thought that it ended with the agreement of Paul doing the James Paul McCartney special. Well, that's not really true.
It's true now.
It ended with him re-signing up until, I think, 1979 and signing a new contract up until 79, I believe it was. Or 77, something like that. So
I think it was 79.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting how all these things work. So anything else you want to mention about Another Day, Andy or Luca?
Please, Andy.
I've always enjoyed the track. Again, it's always kind of held. I've always kind of viewed it as that as a lost track, because when you go through all the it's a hit, but you kind of just forget it because you're on Ram, you're on Red Rose Speedway, and it's nice to come back to it and think that hey, that's the actual his own first single. And of course it's on the compilations, but I've always felt that it's like the orphan single, for a lot of reasons. You know, it's a fantastic track, but it, right. I don't know if it would have, it could have fit on Ram. Where? I don't know, but I think it certainly would have, it could have fit on that album easily. Do you agree, Luca?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't know in which spot. it's difficult to imagine. Maybe taking out one song and putting in another day, but definitely the quality is there. So another couple of things that I like to mention about the track is that it was number 5 in the US and number 2 in the UK, and it sold quite an incredible number of copies in Japan. Mm-hmm. But there's no certification about US sales for another day. There's nothing officially issued. Mm-hmm. So there's a gold record or platinum or anything, which is it's a shame. We don't know exactly the sales of this single, which I suspect were very high because at the time...
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're talking like a number 5 hit, I mean, it has to be at least gold. And, you know, you're right about the IRAA certification. I mean, it's weird that you don't see anything where it says if it's gold or platinum or not. Because those are the kind of things that, you know... record companies and artists want out, right? They want people to see, hey, this sold 500 copies, 500,000 copies. It sold 1 million copies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so probably it was probably worldwide. It could have been a single of about 2 million copies or something. Who knows? But I think it's something that this kind of song in that moment. Could have done. And well, another little thing that's a more personal, and maybe you can add your memories. So just a personal memory about Another Day. Just if you ask me, have you got a, which is the first memory that you connect to the song?
Yeah.
And so you can go on and tell me yours, and then I'll tell you my memory.
Mine was when All the Best came out. You know, I was just becoming a big solo McCartney fan after listening to, you know, nonstop Beatles for a couple years, you know. So it was that's when I discovered the song. I thought it was beautiful. You know, it was catchy right off the bat. And, you know, it took me a long time to really appreciate the lyrics. Right. Because, you know, you want to, you know, as a boy, you know, you want more macho kind of songs. It's not really a macho, you know, a macho song at all, you know, as he's singing about, you know, a woman. But still, you know, musically, I caught on to it, you know, right away. I loved the chorus of it, you know, so I think it's a lovely song, and it's one of my favorites.
Sure. I same thing. All the Best was my introduction to Another Day. Remember on the cassette, actually, in the late 80s. Now on CD, remember, you know, the CDs were a lot of money back then for a kid, so cassettes were a little cheaper. I got that, and I remember listening to it on the cassette and not knowing the context from which it came from. You know, we got decades behind us of knowledge and everything, but as a kid, you're just listening to a track.
Yeah.
You don't know, and it's on a compilation, so you don't know. Is it an early hit? You know, you listen to it for a song, and that I remember liking it instantly from then.
Yeah, exactly. There was no background that at that time. Mm. Well, in my case, 1985 for me was the year where I have bought a lot of McCartney records, and I well remember that around February, I bought on the very same day on a Saturday I bought London Town. And Wings Greatest. And Wings Greatest featured Another Day.
Yeah.
And then around May, I have bought, again on the very same day, Red Rose Speedway and Ram. And so one of my favorite pastimes when I was 15, 16, was to do this cassettes or mixtapes, I don't know, which is the right word for it. when I put together a lot of songs which I discovered. So there was a lot to, you know, to digest and to delve in with these four albums.
Right.
And so I remember I put together a cassette in early May 1985. And my first thing was to bring this cassette to my father and listening to it in the car with him, just to have him, you know, his impression. And I was very nice when he said, "Oh, I like this song," or it was I was in a, you know, deluded when he said, "Well, I don't like this. Can you just you know, skip the song because I don't like it." And that another day was featured in this cassette. So if you ask me a memory, this definitely that spring of 1985 in the car with my father.
Cool. No, that's funny because I would make mixtapes too. And I did the same thing as like, I had all the best on cassette and I had the Flowers in the Dirt on cassette. So I wanted to have like a complete, you know, I wanted the songs that I really, really liked on Flowers in the Dirt added mixed in with with all the best stuff, yeah. You know. So, you know, I had the dual cassette, you know, player. So, you know, I put the one in, you know, exactly. And it's just made my new greatest hits because, you know, I mean, My Brave Face, I mean, come on, was you know,
instant.
Not necessarily a big, yeah. I mean, it was an instant hit for us, yeah, right? For us, but chart wise, it didn't do as well as in the States as I think as it did better in the UK at the time. But yeah, I mean, I have fond memories of making mixtapes. Yeah,
My Brave Face did very well in Italy. I think it was number two or something, and it was all over the place. Yeah, so that's this thing with songs and music that you can really, you know, remember a certain feeling or even a certain perfume or something in the air when you hear a track after 30 years.
Right. All right, so let's flip this single over.
Flip it over to the B-side, shall we?
Flip it over to the B-side, and then that's one of the great things about this Italian 45, because when you flip it over, then it has "O Woman, O Why" on the back of it as well. Listen, the Italians did great pitcher sleeves, Luca. I mean, some of my favorites 45.
The Italians do everything right, don't they?
Okay. So you are telling me to collect the Italian ones.
Yes, I
don't
Italian
really know 45s. which version of this single.
I'll send you some pictures.
But anyway, this is the back cover of the French one.
Yeah, that's the French one, right? Yep. Yeah, they were a lot different. I mean, the Europeans, you know, not just Italians, but Europeans really did some cool pitcher sleeves for 45s, especially during the 70s, because a lot of, sometimes they would use the same image like this. This is the same image on like five or six European 45s. It's just placed differently, the placement, or if it's just black and white, or, I mean, there's some really good 45s for another day. But "O Woman, O Why" was quite different, you know, you know, especially from the A side. But you know, it features you know, really powerful vocal from Paul as well, don't you think, Luca?
Yeah, it's powerful and original because it's not a tone that he uses very often, but I mean, who can do these things? Another day on one side, and then you flip, and on the other side, there's this thing that could be anyone. I mean, if you have another, you know, if you have a friend of yours listening to this track, and who can guess is Paul McCartney? Because, you know, we all know that he's capable to do this kind of things, but it's to the opposite extreme. I mean, it's another story. It's a fantasy story,
right?
I think inspired to a certain blues tradition, and I mean, it's It's exact opposite.
Right.
There's a woman and a man involved in this this kind of story, and well, crazy, but incredible song.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like if this was turned into a movie, it would be a crazy ride. It could be like a Quentin Tarantino movie, maybe. But I love the opening, you know, "Oh woman, oh why?" I mean, it's so you know, scream like, and then he brings it down to almost like a bass part, you know, that only McCartney can really do. You know, start off to a scream and then bring it down to, you know, to a heavy bass. It's pretty amazing. But you know, you think about you know, being in the studio, and you really don't necessarily always think of, you know, an artist bringing a gun, you know, into the studio. You know,
no, but a producer, you know, did a couple of years later.
Yeah.
Wacko Phil.
Yeah, you're talking about Phil Spector. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I mean, but this wasn't the first time. I mean, because then during Carina Core, earlier, you know, he brings a bow and arrow, you know, into the studio as well. So, you know, him using props is not a you know, a strange thing.
No, it's another real feature of Paul, using objects and a lot of strange stuff into the studio, and is you know, is capable to use this within a context of a song perfectly. Right. It's not something that sounds out of place. I mean, then it could be really a nuance. Maybe you have to put your best headphones to you know, to hear what's really behind.
Right.
It's not the case of "A Woman of White," because we can definitely hear the gunshots here.
Right.
Yeah. But in the case of the bow and arrow, it's really, it's really something that
it's really faint.
To pay attention.
Yeah. Attention to, right? You start off with talking about "Oh Woman, Oh Why" and comparing it to that June 14th, 1965 session where Paul recorded "I'm Down" and then "I've Just Seen a Face" in "Yesterday." You know, I guess you could probably compare that to the single, right? In tone of you know vocals, you know, on both sides.
Yeah, I mean that's another thing that is really unparalleled. So again, who can go from "I've Just Seen a Face" from to "I'm Down" and then "Yesterday" and sing at ease all these songs? It's really not common, and so if you listen to "Another Day" and then "A Woman in White," one of the first things that came to my mind is that, okay, it's doing it again. I mean, it's not the same session, obviously, but you know, you got this two completely different styles put on the same single, and that's incredible. You know, this is a song I would like to do statistics one day, and I will do it maybe in the next weeks, because this song starts with drums.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how many songs in Paul's career start with drums? That would be nice as a statistic. Just
our friend Dylan Seavey probably crunched those numbers and probably has that data, if I had to guess. Wouldn't you think?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. He is
another interesting thing, because when it comes to arranging songs, it's not common to start a song with the drums. So
right,
it's also interesting. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Luke. How the both songs are totally different. You know, "Another Day" starts right out of the gate, brisk speed, you know, tempo. "Another Day" really totally different, slow drum intro. Just a total is they're not the same at all. They're totally two different moods on the A and the B side, contrasting.
Yeah,
and definitely. Darker. One's sunny and pleasant. One's really, really dark.
Right.
Definitely.
I think it would have been cool if like Linda did, you know, sang the second kind of verse on this one, because it is a kind of like a guy story and a you know, and the girl story, like, well, I'm fed up with your lying, cheating ways, you know. That kind of would have been cool if that was like their first duet in a way, you know, on this song. You know, I think it would have fit that. Yeah. But
There's something I like to ask you, because I have read somewhere, or maybe there was a friend of mine who told me that which kind of accent Paul is using singing this song, because it was really impossible for me to just understand the lyrics of this song. It's really hard. It probably uses a special kind of accent, which I don't know if it's an American accent, if it's anything, I don't know. But
I think it's something. Slightly pro. He's has a little bit more of an American accent on this track. Yeah. I think it's more American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Plus
you know,
the way he scream. Yeah. Plus the way he screams on it too. You know, while he's singing, you know, it is kind of sometimes hard to understand if you're not reading the lyrics while you're listening to the song. You know, it is kind of hard to understand what he's saying.
Yeah. Other than, you know, a woman on why, you know,
why,
what have you done? Where'd you get that gun? You know,
that gun,
when it starts
to
the other, you know, I can't get by, my hands are tied. And then
you're
like,
tied.
What's he saying?
Wait,
what's he saying there?
Right.
I don't know what he's saying, but it sounds damn good. I don't know what can't comprehend lyrically what's going on in that little bit there, but damn, it's good.
Yeah, so that makes me in a more comfortable position, because if you say you miss some words, then I'm okay.
Yeah. Listen, look, if you don't can't figure those what that is, nobody else can. So
all right.
Siwell here, the drum sound was amazing, one of the best. Talking about the drums we got from CBS Studio, we covered the drums with tea towels like Ringo did, notably during the sessions. So Denny talks highly of this song. He's, you know, so, but this one is, again, I don't think this necessarily would have fit on Ram either. You know, maybe another day, like you guys said, would fit, but I don't think this one would really fit the album. Do you think so, Luca, or do you think it might have fit?
I don't know. It's maybe, well, the kind of song that could come to my mind, which is has a certain similarity, let me say, could be, Monkberry Moonlight, in terms of maybe the vocals,
the vocal
style,
or
kind of more aggressive songs like Smile Away, something like that. Mm. This is has a drier production, drier style compared to other Ram songs. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of this session. So, for me, it could have done a triple album no problem. I mean, this is a very nice material.
Luca, when did you first hear the B-side, A Woman or Why? Was it in that same period, like 84, 85, or was it later?
I have bought probably it was in 1987 when it was released on the Wildlife CD, the first version of the Wildlife CD,
which is this one here, the very first Wildlife on CD. This is the 87 issue, and this would have been your first, this is when you first heard it on the first time, was on the first one. Interesting.
So there was a couple of years later with respect to Another Day. Yeah, that was obviously, I always loved CDs, and so they when they came out, I bought everything. Immediately, it depended on my finances, but anyway. I bought them all, and obviously, one of the best things was all these B-sides and songs that I've never heard before.
Right.
That wasn't that the, such a thrill when you got the CD to hear these songs you never heard before at all. Yeah. You had no other way to really get them, but now they were on CD, and your like mind was blown hearing stuff like "A Woman of Why" and "Little Woman." I mean, that, well, obviously this one is kind of poorly sequenced because you've got "A Woman of Why" on this and "Mary Had a Little Lamb." So it was always
really
wild. Yeah, for wild, for the bonus
surprised,
tracks.
Surprised, yeah, surprised that wasn't on the Ram version because I believe the first time I would have heard it was the 93 Paul McCartney collection series.
Well, the first issue of Ram on CD has no bonus tracks, as you recall, Luca.
No just, bonus tracks. Yeah,
it was just a regular album. So it was weird for their how they stockpiled these B-sides and so forth, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that was it was a thrill to have his catalog on CDs. Yes, I mean I have all the money could not stay in my pocket because of this things, you know. And they were not cheap. They were not cheap at the time. So I mean, just to give you a rough idea. At the cost of a CD at the time, I mean, mid 80s,
yeah,
it was the half of what my parents gave me as a weekly pay.
Wow.
So the half was the cost of a CD. So if I wanted to have something left for going out with my friends, I couldn't buy two CDs because it was no money left.
it's impossible to think about now and everything in a digital world, but you bought these things and treasured them because it was the only way you had to put the CD on. It was it.
And then when they re-released in 1993, there was always someone who told me, but you got it already, which is a stupid question, but anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. You do have it already, but you don't have that version because there's other
exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's something nobody else understands that except us crazy fans.
Well, I can't tell you how many in general
family members will say, "Well, why do you have the three Rams or whatever? Like, isn't the same thing?" No, it's just you don't even bother explaining it. You just can't.
Well,
Well, I must tell you that quickly that well, I bought Ram on this early May 85, and it immediately was one of my favorite things by Paul. And then the year after, I bought it on cassette. Don't ask me why, but I bought it on cassette just because I wanted to experience the thrill of having Ram in another format.
You know. Going back to that and popping it in, What did you think he was saying to start the album? Were you thinking he was saying piece of cake or piss off cake? I mean, what did you think he was saying at the beginning of Too Many People?
No, I think he's saying piece of cake because it's part of the lyrics. Then if you pronounce it in a certain way, he was aware probably that it could have been, interpreted slightly differently.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not English mother tongue, so I don't really know how this similarity goes further. I don't really know if it's possible to misunderstand piece of cake into piss off. I don't know. I don't know. But to my ears, when I didn't have any background about it, I have always thought about piece of cake because these words were part of the lyrics of the song. So for me, there was no doubt. But you can tell me, better what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's piss off, personally.
Yeah. So I mean, again, it's. You know, when you read, you know, anything about these songs, you got to take it with a grain of salt because, you know, we weren't there, I guess. You know, we don't know what his intention was unless he puts it, you know, he writes it down himself. I mean, it's tough sometimes really to believe something like that. You're hearing what you think is right is piece of cake, right? And then, you know, then somebody else is telling you, no, he's not saying that. So I don't know. I've always thought it was piece of cake myself.
Yeah. But I mean, we all have too many information or biases at this point. So you cannot really be objective. So I can tell you at that time, and I didn't know basically anything about it. I have interpreted as piece of cake, which to some extent is maybe sarcastic as well. Because we all know that was a photo of a piece of cake, in a John's record,
exactly.
Yeah, so
the wedding album, right? Yeah.
So even in this case, maybe it means something.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. I'm going to show a couple of my favorite Another Day 45 picture sleeves real quick. And it's interesting that they use what the images that they use the time period. So you've got this is Spain. Obviously that's a Let It Be picture, and then we got Portugal, which again uses an image from Let It Be as well. So
they got the era right. That's when the germ of the song came about. So
good point there.
But, go ahead, Tom. Keep showing. Talk about a lyric.
Go ahead.
That Luca has from our friend Chris Welsh, who we just had on a few episodes ago.
Yes, that's right.
You quoted Chris Welsh's metal review saying, once in a while, a Beatle emerges with a beauty. Lonely said, women are making absorbing subjects. And Paul follows in his tradition of Eleanor Rigby & Co. with another documentary about a girl slipping into stockings and heading for the office where it's hard to stay awake. The accompaniment is novel and inventive, and Paul is sings in knowing fashion. So that was Chris Welsh's original review. So that was he was a fan.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, he was. Yeah. So this was a good fun. Luca, let's we had a good time on Ken Michael's radio YouTube channel not too long ago. You know, talking about just Paul McCartney in general and what we wish for his career.
Okay.
Let's just maybe extend on that. Was there any other thoughts or opinions you have about McCartney? I mean, obviously you're writing you're taking the time out of your life, right, to write about McCartney, and you're talking years, right? I mean, there's got to be a lot of love, a lot of respect. What are you finding out as you're writing these books? I mean, what are you finding or learning the most about Paul here?
Are you talking in general or
yeah, in general. Yeah, in general.
About him or about his music?
About him.
It's a tough question, Tom, because I think, and this is a perspective, of a fan, obviously, but as we all are, but I think that when I write or discover things and when I write about these songs, about these writing methods, all that comes in a book like mine, I think that Paul McCartney is a model. I mean, in many aspects, because it shows you the path for doing things. That's what I always bring with me, even when I write and when I discover things and when I put all these things together. I see is fantasy is way of getting straight until something is done, is finished, which is not that easy, because we all have experienced the struggle of finishing something. For him is songs, or it could be a painting or anything related to art, but is a man, so it's capable, and he has proved that he's capable to complete all of his tasks, also in his daily life, in his personal life. And that's for me one of the things that I have, that I learn and relearn from Paul McCartney, or about Paul McCartney, that has impact, a certain impact on me, and I think on all of his fans, because it's a model. That's it. Mm-hmm. So to put it straight, Tom, that's what I really feel inside when I write these things, when I put together information. But there's a creative process behind it, which mm-hmm. I was talking with a friend of mine a couple of days ago, and even though I'm not a musician, but I play, I can put my hands on a couple of instruments, and what Paul and the Beatles show to me is that try to be original, and that's what I have done. I always try to write my own stuff, mm-hmm. and without the example of Paul and the Beatles, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have tried to do this. Even though I'm not technically that good, but mm-hmm. I like to do my own things, and that's magic, guys. That's right. Magic. There's a it's a direct impact. It's a positive impact on people. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Well said. Absolutely. He is the blueprint, I would imagine. You know, I mean,
yes, he is.
If you're an aspiring musician, artist, songwriter, I mean, look no further for inspiration than Paul McCartney. It just marvels at what he's able to produce with every release, and it feels like it's something different with every release, right? I mean, it might be kind of like the same structure or same patterns or whatnot, but he brings something different to the table, it seems like, every time with every new album. And I really hope that he continues creating, and I'll continue being greedy and want more, but we know, yes, that we unfortunately will. That time will come where we won't get any, new music from Paul, and that'll be a sad day. But he doesn't seem like he wants to stop anytime soon, though. No, but don't you think, Andy?
I agree. I don't think he's going to stop anytime soon, but the body of work that he has produced in 53 years, people after he has gone are going to be like, holy crap, this guy was really good. They're going to go, may discover it in 10 years or in 20 years, and they're going to go, wow, I didn't even realize that he did this. And because so many people just view Paul McCartney in a Beatles schism, in a Beatles frame of view. And I've gone to conventions. I've seen people. They're mostly Beatles fans. Yeah, you've got your hardcore solo fans, but if people actually, if they're inclined to, study Paul McCartney a little bit more deeply, they're going to be, their minds are going to be blown when they realize the embarrassment of riches that this man has given to the world.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom, just to add a little piece, when we talk about what we would like to see in the future from Paul, well, I just chosen one thing, but I agree with you. I mean, everything he comes up with, I'm fine. I mean, new album, Wonderful Life. I mean, right. But we will see a lot of things coming from him. I think he has got a number of projects that is working or he has worked on. So the difficult thing is that he's got too many things, and so it's difficult to, even for MPL or for anyone,
right,
to just find the right spot, because there's books, there's a lot of things that are related to his legacy. So it's hard to choose the right moment. I think we will see a new album quite soon, and I hope, and I'm sure it will be another thing that we will say, all right, come on. How is possible? That is so original. So original.
Yeah. Right. I hope, Luca, I so hope you are right, my friend. I really hope so.
Yeah.
Well, he won't stop.
Yeah, he won't stop. But it's interesting though, is that, you know, as we were talking about the last Beatles single here, as well with Ken, and the fact that this is going to be huge, right? I mean, so like with the anthology in 95, Capitol didn't want him to release anything.
No.
Right? No, you know, so that's why I'm thinking we're not going to get money. They might even push the Band on the Run 50th, you know, Half Speed Master to probably early next year, just so depending on when this is released, just so that this new Beatles single can get the attention.
And is it coming out just as a single? Is it getting packaged with something? Is it, you know, and I couldn't join you all the other night when you had that nice discussion. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure, I think somebody brought it up that I think might have been Ken Michaels, that if they just, if it's the anthologies upgraded with some new stuff, you know, maybe that is that the release and they're just going to put Now and Then with it. I don't know, but we'll see. Something's coming, as Leonard Bernstein wrote.
Yeah, something's coming. I don't know if this will prevent any releases in the immediate future by Paul, but it could be a nice marketing vehicle for Band on the Run or for some other solo stuff. It depends how they want to market it. I don't know. I mean, it's too early to say. Digital single seems unlikely to me, but who knows? And then we got to understand which is the song, because I think we have talked about Now and Then, but I don't think Paul mentioned the title of this thing during his interview. And so, well, it's probably it would be Now and Then, but...
Well, the thing is, you know, somebody actually tweeted Sean Lennon and said that, you heard about this. I mean, are you okay with this? You know, and then, you know, Sean actually replied and saying, all we did was that we extracted the vocal from the tape. You know, they didn't use AI to enhance the vocal in any way. So, I mean, people, you know, you need to research. You need to, you know,
It's like you said on that show the other night. You know, good. He is a master at the marketing, and you know, getting people to because it is a hot topic. You pointed that out well on that show.
That's one thing. But on the other side, we got to tell that you know, artificial intelligence could be a lot of things. So not only one thing. But these days, people are identifying AI with this kind of operations where you say, okay, can I have this McCartney song sung with the voice of John Lennon? That's what people think it's AI. I mean, probably, and I'm not really sure, AI means also other things, including this one. I don't know if it's AI, if it's the right term or not. So, but for people, I think generally speaking, it's difficult to, you know, understand when something like AI has got a number of applications, a number of uses. So it's better and it's easier to say, okay, AI is this thing, this specific thing. So who knows? But then, I mean, you can definitely use the word AI just to have more hype.
Very interesting. Yeah, I can't wait. You know, I kind of wish that he didn't say anything. I would have liked to have been surprised maybe a little bit later on down the line. But we're all excited for this. You know, obviously the speculation now is going to be, you know, what does it sound like? I mean, you know, who produced it? I mean, did they bring Jeff Lynne back? You know, I mean, was it Giles Martin or is this Paul McCartney? You know, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, like Andy said, you know, how are they going to market it? How are they going to present it? Is it going to be part of another anthology or whatnot? So it's going to be interesting to see. how this is released. So the question is for you, everybody listening or watching in the comment section, you know, like Luca asked us earlier in the show, you know, how did we first discover Another Day? Let us know in the comment section. When did you, are you a first generation McCartney fan and you got to listen to it at firsthand, or did you just discover it later on in the coming decades with Wings Greatest or All the Best or Pure McCartney? Let us know in the comic section when you first discovered Another Day, and give us your thoughts on the song. Is it a favorite, or is it one that you don't really care about? So, but Luca, your book, you know, Music is Ideas, Story Behind the Songs, is out now. It's Amazon, it's in, you know, wherever you want to find it. But give us an update on volume two, right? Because volume two is going to be 90 all the way up to what?
That depends on polls. I mean, if we have something new right. or right. an album, it won't be good to leave it out. Right. So I right. think. Well, at the moment, the plan is mid 2024, which could be good for having also another new release in the meantime by him, I think. Mm-hmm. So that will be, it will be covering everything until the last release. Who knows? When it will be and which will be. So basically, I did a lot of work already, but you know, the tweaking of a book, it's time consuming. So I think it's safe to say that I will need at least 1 year for volume two. Yeah.
Right. One more question. You know, 70s and 80s, they were full of riches of unreleased tracks.
Yeah.
How are the 90s and the 2000s with unreleased tracks? Are they as fruitful as the 70s and 80s?
No, I think there's not much. So far, I think I have put together something like 25 tracks, unreleased tracks. Okay. Which makes sense to have in a book or talking a bit about them. The 70s and the 80s were definitely richer in terms of what we know it's unreleased. Then there's a sea of other things that we don't know about.
In
the vaults.
Yes, in the vaults. Sure. If we can only get our hands on those vaults, right? Luca, you're pretty much on with social media. You're pretty much just on Twitter. Is that correct?
Yeah,
Twitter is follow you.
Twitter is the main channel I'm using, but I'm also on Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook, and I got a website. So there's a lot of ways to find me.
Okay, very, very good. Andy, anything coming up with you on your channel there, buddy?
Maybe some reviews of some recent concerts. Maybe I did last night. I'm still recovering from it. I saw the Musical Box do the entire of The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway here. On Broadway for the last time. They're not playing it anymore. So I might do a review of that concert, which was an incredible show. They actually use the original slides that Genesis had during the tour, and you know they were given the blessing by Genesis management and Peter Gabriel and the licensing to use those images. So I might do a review of that show with a buddy of mine who I went with, which was pretty cool.
Excellent, amazing. And then please check out my movie channel, Tom's Movie Channel. I've been trying to get as many videos up as I can, but you know, as life goes, you know, sometimes you're busy doing other things. But Talk More Talk, that'll be and when this is posted, we will have James and Tom Liberoni talking about their experience with the Paul McCartney Conan O'Brien interview that happened last week. So check that out. Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. Check out the YouTube channel and please subscribe. Luke, my friend, it's always great to hang out with you and just pick your brain with all the knowledge that you have up there and talking about your new book, Music as Ideas. It's always great to spend some time with you, and especially on Paul's birthday, right? So this is the 81st birthday of Paul McCartney. Just amazing that he's still with us and creating new music.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to you guys. I've been with you a number of times during this month. So thanks, because I went through a difficult period in my personal life, and that helped. Yeah. The book helped. Yeah. Being with you helped a lot. So thanks again, and happy birthday, and thanks to Paul.
Thank you.
Well. There you go. Yes, thank you, and happy birthday. We hope you have a wonderful day, which is by now, it's probably, if he's in the UK right now, it's you know, it's I'm sure he's celebrating as
and
we
father.
Speak.
Well, so, he just posted on the social media, "Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the world, including me." He just posted this picture of himself.
Okay. Oh, very cool. All right, that. Excellent.
Okay,
so
very nice.
Nice very to see cool. Our, very cool. Nice to see. Nice to see our kid happy and doing well.
Right, Luca, you are welcomed anytime. If you feel like you want to, you know, chat and you have something you want to talk about, you know, please, you know, feel free to get a hold of us, and we'll send out a link, and we'll hit that record button, and we'll have some more fun.
Until someone says that's enough, I will be pleased to be
not here. Not anybody on this channel.
I won't be here. It won't be here. Yeah. So you know, you're awesome. Can keep on doing the great work, and for Two Legs, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. Please check out and please subscribe to the YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney Podcast. Email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. If you have an idea for a show, if you think we can try to, you know, get a guest or something like that, we would love to hear from you, whether you like the show or you don't like the show. Just, you know, reach us out and say hi. And we appreciate hearing from you. So for Luca Parazzi, Annie Nichols, I'm Tom Hunyadi. As always, have a great day and a beautiful night, everyone. Take care.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.